Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It is especially the words in verse 2 where we read, endured the cross. He endured the cross. And that is true of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the context of this verse is chapter 11. And chapter 11 is the great hall of fame, hall of faith of the famous faithful, beginning with the Old Testament saints in the book of Genesis, going right through to the prophets. And we read there of the pilgrims of faith, and they finished their course with joy, and they have gone into the presence of God. And the New Testament believers are compassed about by this great cloud of witnesses. And we are pilgrims today, and we also are on the course, on the journey. And we also have to finish the course and complete the journey as well as they. But the chief pilgrim, the great pilgrim, the one who is the author and finisher of faith. You notice the pronoun "our" is in italics. It's not just the author and finisher of our faith, but he's the author and finisher of faith. He's the chief pilgrim. He is belonging not only to those who are in chapter 11, but he is the one who is the chief pilgrim, the forerunner, the first. He is the one who carried out the course without any fault, without any failing, without any sin whatsoever. And everyone else who finishes the journey does so because of him, the author, the finisher of faith. So he not only commenced, he not only began, but he completed. He finished. And it says here he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Not only did he complete the course, but it says he endured the most difficult part of the course. And the most difficult part of the course for him was his cross. Also, the shame. That was the hardest part. The cross and the shame. Difficult in all the life of Christ, but the cross and the shame particularly are highlighted. He endured the cross. Now, the word endured is a compound word in the Greek. It is made up of two words which mean under and abide. And the thought is that to endure is to abide, to continue under the load, no matter how hard it is, no matter how heavy it is, not to run away, not to forsake it, but to continue, to abide under it, to carry it, to endure it, to go through it, not to stop the course, not to leave the field, not to get off the track. And the Lord didn't get off the track. Even though there was a cross and the shame, he endured it and he despised the shame. And we have to think about that. He endured the cross. We know what the cross meant for our Lord. There was pain, physical, mental, emotional. There was the agony, physical, upon his whole humanity, his frame. That which he suffered at the hands of man. But also there's something happening in regard to God as he bears sin, and as he's made a curse for us, and as he's bearing that load of our iniquity. We can't understand all that's going on here, all that's being involved in the darkness of Calvary. There's a great mystery in his cross. But it was hard. It was difficult. But he endured it. He endured it. Even though he might have, theoretically speaking, escaped it. Because he knew beforehand what he was going to endure. We read, for example, in Matthew 20, that he predicted what he was going to suffer. So he knew it wasn't just that he had come upon him and he had no choice. No, he knew. He knew what the cross was. He knew what was before him. It says in Matthew 20 and verses 18 that we have to go to Jerusalem. But he says, we're going to Jerusalem. I'm not avoiding it. I'm not escaping it. I'm going to endure it. We go to Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests, unto the scribes. They'll condemn him to death. They'll deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, to crucify him. So he was aware. He was aware what he was going to do and to face and to suffer. But he didn't leave the track. He didn't leave the field. He went that path to Jerusalem knowing all of this. He endured the cross. And that's remarkable. You see, we don't know what's coming to us. And sometimes we have no choice. It just befalls us. We might get out of it by doing wrong at that stage, but we can't avoid it in the distant because we don't know the future. But the Lord knew. And yet he bore it all and he carried it and he endured. He said a very interesting thing in chapter 26 of Matthew in verse 53. Whenever they were coming to take him, and thinkest that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. You see, Peter, he used the sword. He's saying, Lord Jesus, you're not going to endure the cross. I'm going to use my sword, and we'll all use our swords, and we'll get you out of that. But the Lord stopped him and prevented him, and he said, put away your sword. And he says, I can call 12 legions of angels. But he didn't. He endured the cross. Now, 12 legions of angels are a lot of soldiers. The word legion has changed in its meaning and intent in history as the Roman Empire lasted for hundreds and hundreds of years. But at the time of Christ, it was a lot of people, a legion. A legion was probably what we call today a regiment. The UDR was a regiment in this province. It had 11 battalions. And a legion was made up of about probably 10 battalions, 10 cohorts, as they called them. A cohort had 600, 700 men, not only infantry, but cavalry, well-armed, well-trained. These are more than 12 legions, more than 12 regiments, enough for a war, probably up on 100,000 angels. And angels are far more powerful than men. One angel can destroy a whole army of men. And this is an army of angels. But he endured the cross. He didn't leave the field. He didn't bring someone into the field to carry it all away. No, he endured it. The question is, why? Why? Well, the text tells us why. For the joy that was set before him. The joy of finishing, the joy of sitting down. But you know, it wasn't just the joy of sitting down. Alone. That's not why he endured it. It was the joy of sitting down with his people. With all those in chapter 11. That great company of witnesses who finished. And with all of the New Testament saints who will finish. The joy of sitting down with them all. He endured for them. You see, the fact of the matter is that nobody would have finished if he hadn't endured. There would be no pilgrims getting to glory at all. The author and finisher of faith had to do it all. And in and through him, there are pilgrims of faith that he's bringing to glory. The many sons that he's bringing to glory to sit down with him. And that's the joy. That's the real joy. The joy of having us sinners around his feet. And so he endured the cross for us. For us. Isn't he a wonderful Savior? And we also should continue our journey and lay aside every weight. And even the sin that easily besets you, you should lay it all aside for him who endured the cross for us and finish our course as he did and sit down with him. And may we sit down with him in that great day through grace. Let us pray then.